you sleep in on
Monday?
Well, don't worry, because here's the Jimmy and Nate catch up.
Yes, happy Monday, guys. Welcome to the pod.
Yeah, welcome to the pod. Don't worry, if you're a fan of Nate's book, still plenty more books to give away, I think.
Well, so far, so I think we've still got about 18 to 20. 18 and 20 copies. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There might be a third release if the demand is still there.
I think you got to scroll down a bit further on the Instagram just because we've had a lot of messages recently and there are a few I was going down of people wanting the book, and even in our pending requests we mentioned the book, more people wanting the book.
Mm, of course.
It's the thing of 2020.
Well, I don't understand why producer Grace went, because I hadn't read it. I hadn't proofread it at all because I didn't think that many people would go out. Producer Grace had a flick through it, and I think she spent about 20 seconds looking at it. And how many mistakes
There's
did you
so
find?
Many typos, grammatical errors, spelling errors. And I really wish you'd just let me look through it first.
Well, I didn't think it'd be sent out to that many people.
What if,
I had to rush it through production, didn't I?
Oh, can we do another edition, but the grammatically correct edition?
The edited edition.
Yeah,
you can edit. There's a photo of you that you look like an evil moth.
I do. I look like a moth.
Or what about like proof? Nate, this is me. Proofread.
Yeah, I'm into that.
The proofread edition.
I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, I like that.
I read it. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, well, you're just as bad as me, though. Jim, my autobiography, Nate, this is me, 400-word book, including pictures, still available in Dimmicks, I'm told. Still a couple of copies still
Hobart
available.
Dimmicks.
Yeah, so we left three there. I think people are confused because they're trying to walk around and browse
for
it.
Yeah, people don't want to ask. They're embarrassed.
No, you've got to go and ask for it. Don't be embarrassed, guys.
Don't be embarrassed.
If you want a copy of it, just you've got to go and ask.
Sometimes I hate asking for things. Like, I just want to find it on my own.
So do I.
Because a good example is this: is when we were there, we were at Dimmicks. You're set up outside. There's a giant poster of the book. You're there, and there was a guy just walking around the store, and then he just came up begrudgingly and was like, "Hey, mate, I'm trying to find your book. Can you tell me where it is?" And you're like, "Well, it's right here,
right here in front of me. Just come ask."
Oh yeah. I love a book.
I was looking for a frame yesterday for our house. I went to Officeworks.
The book. Nate's framed the book in his home.
Instead of asking somebody, there's somebody, as soon as you come in the door, asking, "Hey, what are you looking for? Can I help you find it?" I was like, no, all good. I spent 20 minutes trying to find the frame section until I eventually caved, couldn't find the frame section, and asked somebody. And I said, "Oh, 14, you should have asked when you came in."
Yeah,
and I said, "Yeah, well, I wouldn't have found it myself."
Any store, I'll never ask for where things are. I want to find it on my own. I won't ask for directions. I'm always blown away by, like, if you're out in the city and someone stops you and goes, "Hey, where's this?" or whatever. Mm. I'm like, the confidence on you. I could never ask any. I'd rather not find something.
And then the thing
ask.
Is, I won't even admit that I don't know where that thing is, and I'll make it up.
Yeah. You tell people where to go.
Well, last week, I announced the second release, the second edition release of Nate, This Is Me, because we ran out of the first release. We gave out 20 copies. There's been another 20 made and started to be sent out. If you do want a copy, you've got to head to our Instagram, at Jimmy Nate. Send us a message, and we'll get you on the show and see if you deserve a copy, because we're not just going to hand them out willy-nilly. You've got to deserve a copy. There is one question I did want to bring to you, though, Jim, just to get your thoughts. A couple of people have suggested this now, including our mornings announcer, Shawnee B. People want it on Kindle. People want it to be an online thing as well, so they could open it up on their iPads and
it's not bad.
Kindles and stuff.
Because then it's not a bad shout, because then I guess we can...
Save
on production costs. Yeah. We don't need to keep printing.
Because it slowed down.
Yes.
I think, there's other people in the office who need the printer.
Yeah, there's no ink. I printed out some sheets of paper today. They're blank because you've taken all the ink. Not a bad check, because I think you can put stuff on Kindle for free as well.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything.
You can put a book up. Yeah, I like that.
So you think, potentially, watch this space, we could end up on Kindle, guys.
Digital edition. That way, if anyone does want to go get it, they can just go get it.
And that way, yeah, we could send the code out to people. I don't know how Kindle works. I've never
I think you can just upload it.
And then it's like a library and people search it.
And some books are free and they could just download it.
There you go. Nate, This Is Me, soon.
I don't know how you feel
Kindle.
About being it free and anyone getting it, though, because right now you're making people jump through a lot of hoops.
No, you're so right. Maybe I could put some sort of lock on it, like a password, but don't tell anybody the password.
Now we have to call Kindle and get the only password-encoded book.
Jim, we're just talking about my autobiography, Nate, This Is Me. 400 words, including pictures, still available in Dimmicks, could be coming to Kindle.
Yeah, if we can get onto the good
people.
If
we can get onto them and figure out how the best way to move forward would be. Now, we just said if you do want a copy, a second edition limited release, you've got to reach out to us on our Instagram, send us a message. A lot of people have done that. We've got two of those people on the phone right now. Before we do, just give them a copy. We don't want to hand them out willy-nilly. We've got to make sure they deserve them. Steph from Moona. Hey, Steph, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you.
Now, Steph, you reached out and said you wanted a copy of Nate, This Is Me, second edition, limited release. Why would you like a copy, Steph?
Because me, my mum and my sister are such big fans. My mum and sister listen to you every morning before they go to work.
And Steph, it was, I believe it was your 19th birthday the other day?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good birthday present as well.
Yeah, so you want it for your birthday, Steph?
Yes, please.
Right, okay.
And you'd share it with your mum and your sister?
Yeah.
But that's nice. I like that.
Steph, would you read it, or would you kind of use it as like an ornament to show off to people? How would it live in your life?
I would read it, and then I'd show it off to people. Show it off. Because I know there's only a few of them so far.
Well, there is only
Steph,
a few of them,
yeah. When's your mum's birthday or your sister's birthday?
They've already been. My mum's in May and my sister's in July.
Okay. Yeah. What about potentially... like, we give it to you, you could read it and have it, maybe you could...
Re-gift it
at Christmas time.
Oh, yeah, true. That's a good idea.
That was a trick question. You're not supposed to re-gift it, Steph. You want to hold on to it and cherish it with your life. Now I'm reconsidering. No, Steph, you got yourself a copy. Well done.
Happy 19th, Steph.
Happy 19th birthday. All right, let's go to Gail from Sorrel. Hi, Gail. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Now, Gail, you reached out with a pretty amazing story about why you want a copy of Nate, This Is Me on our Instagram.
I did.
What happened, Gail?
So I've got my 10-year-old son here with me at the moment.
Okay.
He's been a huge fan of yours basically since we started listening to the radio. Last year, I think it was about May or June or something, he's seen your photo on the side of the bus. And he's sitting there, he's like, no, it's Jimmy and Nate. It's Jimmy and Nate. I said, it is. And he pulled fangirled. After that, we went to the Christmas pageant at Rosny, where you drove past in the hit 109 car.
Mm.
And he's seen you, and you waved back at him, and just the way that his face lit up was just incredible. It was just like he had seen the most famous two people in the world.
Well, he has, Gail. We are. The
you
two
need
best.
To get him out more, Gail.
Gail, what's his name?
Zach.
So okay. This book would be for Zach.
It would be, yes.
Has it been his birthday soon, or was it close to his birthday, Gail? Could we use it as a present?
He turned 10 in March, and unfortunately, due to COVID, we couldn't have the big 10th birthday party that we had planned. So we had to cancel that and unfortunately just have a little home party at home. So
nice.
I think it would make his whole absolute year, considering his 10th birthday was a bit rubbish.
Yeah, of course.
It's the first time you double digits. Yeah. You can hold up both hands and
absolutely.
Go, I'm 10.
It's funny, 10 is more pages than are in the book, which... Gail,
ten is also more than the words. No, yeah, 400 words.
But the book's almost like it was written by a 10-year-old. Gail, how does he go with reading? Will he read it himself? Will he read it to the family, or what do you think?
Who would you read it to, Zach?
Family.
Read it to the family. That's nice. It's a family occasion. Well, you know what, Gail and Zach, you're getting a copy. Nate, This Is Me. We're sending it out to you. Well done, guys.
And thank you.
And really exciting as well, Zach, when you read it to the family, mate, you only need to set aside 5 minutes of your day. Nate, some good news this morning. The government will allow formals and celebration dinners to go ahead for school leavers with dancing. So come on, kids, put on your dancing shoes.
Absolutely.
Your fun time has. Producer Grace in the studio, not a fan of...
No, it wasn't the best dancing song you could have gone with.
Well, what would you have gone with?
I would have gone with Kylie Minogue Dancing.
How does that go?
When I go out, I want to go out dancing.
This is what we're going with. Dancing shoes.
Yes, density restrictions. A reason I brought you two in is because you're the experts. I didn't have a formal. You both did, so must be nice.
Had a couple of formals, actually.
What?
Yeah, had a few formals.
Did you get invited to heaps of formals? I can imagine you got invited.
Oh, other people's formals.
Other people's formals, yeah.
I didn't get invited to any of that.
A school, there was only a town, there was only one school.
And
we didn't even have formals.
If I knew you guys when I was in grade 12, you would have come to my formal.
You wouldn't have not invited me.
You wouldn't have come to my formal.
So density restrictions will still apply to school venue of one person per 2 square metres. Sounds a bit person. Like some dots that will be spaced out.
What a good idea. Designated dance dots.
How? This is the question. So one person per 2 square metres up to a maximum of 250 people.
Okay.
So my question to you two is, that sounds a bit like designated dance dots. Yeah, how will they police this?
Yeah, 100%. So there's no other way to police this aside than designated dance dots with designated dance dot directors. So you need that. So I don't understand how they're doing it. Don't tell me squares and all this kind of stuff.
So Sasha, she's our first designated dance dot director.
Yeah.
Messaged us on Instagram at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Doing her job, obviously, in the club.
Yeah. I mean, I can't read all of it. But she said people won't stop coming up to her to talk about the issue.
Of course.
Of dancing.
Well, that's part of the job as a designated dance dot director.
You've got to be able to chat. She said the chair dancing went off, so people were doing the bum boogie.
Yeah, of course.
She did say there were a few sad souls out there. One came up to her and said they would pay her $250 to be the first person on the first dot.
Oh, you can't bribe the directors. This is part. This is okay.
Well, we did say it was an unpaid role. No,
you
so
okay, you can bribe the directors then.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know,
donations, not bribes.
All except donations. That'll go into the kitty of designated dance dot directors. For those of you who don't know, just very quickly, the designated dance dot will be the dots that you'd see like at Woolworths or that kind of thing. A little bit larger. That will be on dance floors in bars and clubs and that kind of stuff that you could dance at a social distance safely from other people. The directors are the people in charge of policing those dots.
Yeah, so what I thought, should we potentially... So again, it's what they're proposing at the school things is one person per 2 square metres.
Yep.
So they're going to need to be spaced out. And there also must be a clear separation between the dance floor and the dining area.
Yep.
They have to be different areas.
Absolutely.
Should we reach out to someone, I don't know, like the education minister or someone, and see if we can get our dots? Because how they're going to
get our dots in formals.
They're going to have to put something on the ground for people to be 2 square metres away from each other.
I love this. So who's come out and made this call? Do we know who's made this call? Is it the education minister?
This is what Peter Gutwin said.
Is it Gutwin said this?
Yeah. I don't know if he made it, but he was talking about it on Friday.
But there'd be someone involved. All right, let's reach out to somebody and let's get our dots in formals. That way you two could go put the dots in and then you'd be to a formal. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Just us. Me and Jimmy, you don't want to go?
Well, I've been to enough, haven't I? It's your birthday, so you're about to get a birthday shout-out. Yeah, time for some hit birthday shouts. You want to get one, hint.com.au is where they head, Jim.
Yeah, no, two today. First one for Charlie Fielder. Charlie. Charlie!
Great cricketer.
Happy birthday. I hope you have a great 13th birthday.
Oh, nice. Teenage.
XOXO, and that's from Georgie Hamilton. And then also Emma. I know you'll be listening because you love Jimmy and Nath. Happy birthday, Emma. Have a great day at work, and I'll see you tonight. Wink face.
Oh,
love, Daniel.
Okay.
So shout out to Emma.
What's going on there, hey?
Well, Emma. I know what's happening there.
Awkward if she's not listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the one
I know
day.
You'll be listening, and the one day she's not.
Slept in or getting a coffee at the gym or something.
Very exciting. Well, happy birthday to Charlie and Emma. Good on you.
But Nath, I need you to welcome to the show. He was part of the RHH Research Foundation charity abseil yesterday, The Edge 2020, Do It for Dad. He was also celebrating his first Father's Day as a dad, as a daddy. Please welcome from Stay Chatty, Mitchie McPherson.
Woo! Daddy, the boys don't stop, I can't get enough. Daddy, the boys don't stop, I can't get enough. Daddy McPherson.
How are you going today? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, mate. How did it feel, your first Father's Day as a dad?
It was very good. I woke up very spoiled at home by the girls, so I had a beautiful day and very lucky to be able to spend that time with my family yesterday.
Were you able to enjoy it before the abseil down rest point, Mitchie? Because I'm sure there's a few nerves running through the body.
100%. I didn't enjoy a second of it until about 11:35 when I finished my abseil. I actually said I woke up like really early, and it was like I played a bit of footy back in the day. Never at the high, like really high level, I must add. But
oh, you won a couple of grand finals, didn't you?
Yeah, best on ground or something.
I did do something like that, and I remember that. I remember that day. You wake up, and you've got that sick feeling in the bottom of your stomach, and that was me yesterday. 6:30, just woke up. Feeling like I'm about to go and play a massive game of footy, and the nerves were there. Went for a walk, got a coffee, all that sort of stuff. But, when I actually got to the moment, it was actually not as bad as what I dreaded. But, it was a pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, so talk us through the... So you're on the... I've seen some videos on your Instagram, at Mitch McP. Yep. Haven't changed it to Daddy McP yet. Well, the moment you're standing on the edge, like you're about to go down, talk us through that moment.
Yeah, so Eve from the RHH Foundation sort of said to me, can we go live on Facebook? And I thought, oh, I'm not sure about that. But then I said, oh, it'll actually be a pretty good distraction. I was actually heading off with former Premier Will Hodgman, and he was next to me, and we're about probably, you know, 5 metres apart, and I sort of got ready to go, and I looked down, and he was halfway down there.
Oh, look at him. Loves it.
I shouted out, are you going away from me, Will? And we got to the bottom, and he said, there was no way I was waiting for you, mate. He was off.
He was off. Just want to get to the bottom. Yeah, right,
he just
okay.
Wanted to get to the bottom. But once you sort of get over the edge, and I tried not to look down too much, but sort of once I was a couple of, you know, a minute into it, it was nice to just sort of spin around a bit, you know, have a look around. But they had warned that the wind was picking up, and I sort of spun around once. I went 2 or 3 times. I thought, hello, I'm going to get myself back in close to the wall.
What? Spinner and Mitchie ended up in the Derwent at one point.
Yeah, close, but no, it was great.
Well, Mitchie, was there someone going to... So when you... I mean, you said you were supposed to be going down with Will, but was there like a guide or anybody with you or anybody kind of talking to you in your ear as you're going down there, or was it literally just you on the side of Rest Point?
Yeah, just you. There's you've got someone top and bottom now. I'm not sure in that abseiling world what they call them, and I'm not even going to guess. But yeah, each person, there was 4 that went at a time, and you had someone top and bottom sort of controlling. Well, you could control your rope to fall as quickly as you wanted.
Right.
But if it got out of hand, there's someone there to sort of hold you, you know. If Gary Sweet Police Rescue sort of kicked in, there's someone there to, hang on a minute, the thing's up a little bit. So, yeah, he felt very safe, and the Arbuth Venture crew did a bloody magnificent job. So, yeah, he felt very safe.
How long did it take you, Mitchie, from top to bottom? How long did it take to get down?
I reckon probably 3 or 4 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 max. So, yeah, it was once you sort of get to the bottom, you think, right, if I... Fall now, it's probably just a broken leg. You can sort of relax a little bit more, push off the wall a bit more.
Well, knowing you, mate, you probably would break something, make a glass.
I nearly rolled an ankle, like just putting my foot down when I got the ball. So, yeah.
Now, Mitch, the great thing about this, it looks like the event's going to raise close to $100,000, of course, going to the Royal Hobart Hospital Research Foundation. How does it make you feel to know that you're a part of that?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's the best effort they've ever had, I think, for this event. And, yeah, anything that, you know, when Heather reached out and said, would I be part of it, I was keen to learn more. I didn't know a whole lot about what they do, but it's been great to learn and a great journey to be part of. And I've met some amazing people and so many amazing stories yesterday, you know, people doing it for their dad that they've lost in the past or they just want to make them proud. It was a really inspiring thing to be part of. So, yeah, super grateful, and I'd love to do it again next year. Awesome. See how we go.
Mitchie, well done, mate. Now, is it true that you would have got, I've just got written here, is it true that you would have got down in 2 minutes, but you stopped in at level 3 and played the chocolate wheel?
Yeah, no, that is true. And you actually walked through the revolving restaurant at the start. That was pretty tempting as well, walking through there. I could have stopped off at level 1 for a feed as well.
The Chinese restaurant. Yeah. Mitchie McPherson, mate, as always, round of applause to you. What an effort.
I think he was at Ray Jeans for a while as well, getting a boogie on.
Definitely popped in there for a
good Thank you, Mitchie, mate. Well done. Congratulations.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Nath, I don't think this has been more appropriate than ever. It's a Monday. We do Dad Joke Mondays, but yesterday was Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's rip and tear, mate.
He's dad. He's dad. His jokes are really bad. And Hobart wants to laugh right now, but instead they're going to say, oh, Dad.
Oh, Dad.
Oh, Dad.
Dad, not again.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that was said many times yesterday because, look, it was Father's Day, so dads were getting all the love and attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they were saying jokes, and then, you know, mum and the daughter were going, oh, Dad.
Well, my dad, Big Mickey, he did some physical humour. Did some physical humour over the week. I don't know if I told you, but for his birthday, my dad likes to paddle the kayak. We got him a kayak cover, and it kind of looks like a big... big kind of like oven mitt for a kayak, you know what I mean? So you just slide the kayak in it, right? And then he sent me a photo going, really enjoyed my new kayak cover. And it's him sitting on the couch inside the kayak cover like it's a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
So a bit of physical humour for Big Mickey Dad.
Good Mickey. Yeah. So look, Hobart, I've got a couple, but I'd love for you to share them with us. So if you do have one, 131060 is the number. It's the new number, 131060, to let us know your dad jokes or slide in the DMs at Jimmy and Nath if you don't have time to call. Nath, I'll kick things off. What do you call...
You all right, mate? Sorry.
I got a bit of indigestion. I think it's my ribs.
You get a water or something?
Yeah,
a bit,
sore ribs.
Yeah. Nathan and I filmed a video yesterday and I think I've broken a rib.
It was a physical video.
It's not even a gag. I think I've actually broken it. I think I've done something. Nathan, what do you call a coffee with a cold?
A coffee with a cold?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A coffee.
Good. Good one.
Nathan, my wife.
Oh, don't get me started on her, mate.
Born trade. the wife, mate, she's leaving me.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's not a joke, is it?
No, it's not funny. Look, she's leaving me, mate, because I'm beginning to go bald.
Mm, I didn't want to say anything,
Look, I don't mind, but it's hair loss.
Very good.
No, it wasn't that good. You didn't like
it. No,
that
I did. It took me a while. It took me a couple of. I mean, coffee was really good.
Coffee was good. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm still thinking my dad's joke with the kayak.
I've got another joke about elephants.
No, we can't do that one.
Oh, Dad. Yes. Oh, but it is Monday. We do it every Monday. Dad joke Mondays. I just feel like it's a bit more appropriate this morning because yesterday was Father's Day. I'm assuming there were dads all over Hobart cracking jokes that were funny. And we're not funny. Mm. That's the best thing about a dad joke. It doesn't need to be funny. Now, before we go to the phones, we've got a couple here on Instagram. First one from frost.michael.
Frosty.
Frosty the snowman. He said, why did the chicken cross the road with a pair of scissors?
Why did the chicken cross the road with a pair of scissors? I don't know.
To cut corners.
Clever.
Clever. Good one, Frosty. Yeah. This one from Rebecca Crouch, 87. She said, what do you call a caveman's fart?
Oh, that's it. Oh, it sounded like there was more to that. Your inflection went up like there was more to come.
What do you call a caveman's
fart? It didn't it? Look at producer Grace. Look like there was more to come with that.
What do you call a caveman's fart?
Yeah, no, so that's it. Yeah, we'll do it.
I'll do it again. What do you call a caveman's fart?
Okay, yeah, that's all right. Yeah. What do you call it?
What do you call a caveman's fart?
No, that's... That's back to the start again.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you call it?
A blast from the past.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. Is that it? Is there any more on Instagram?
Oh, no. Oh, there's a couple, but we've got to
find. All right, Anita from How Are I? Anita, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Going all right, Anita. Have you got a dad joke for us?
Yeah, my dad loves to tell a joke. A few dirty, but a few clean. He loves to tell the grandchildren this one.
Okay.
What do you call... I had a dream last night and I was eating a great big marshmallow. And then I woke up and I was eating my pillow.
Classic dad. Yeah, what's his name, Anita?
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's it.
His name's That's It, yeah.
Oh, who's the day? Your name's Joe.
Oh, Joe. Joe. Are you and Jimmy been hanging out?
I know Joe's last name.
What is it?
Joe King.
Oh, there you go. On the fly. Thank you, Anita. All right, let's go to Rebecca from Baghdad. Becky, you got a joke for us?
I do. Did you know that the Secret Service in America no longer yell out, get down, when the president's in danger?
No. What do they yell?
They yell out, Donald Duck.
That's really good and topical.
Donald Duck.
Obviously made in the last few years as well. Oh. I love that. Who tells that one, Beck? Is that all yours?
No, I actually saw it on Facebook last night and I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you shared. That's a good one.
Have you heard the caveman joke, Beck?
I just did.
Yeah, do you want to hear it again? Go ahead, Jim.
That's all about the delivery. What do you call a caveman's fart?
No idea.
A blast from the past.
Good one. Jim, we were just talking about the fact that it's been 20 years since Australia hosted the Sydney 2000 Olympics. Of course, the Tokyo Games have been postponed to next year, which we were just figuring out in the song. First time the Olympic Games has ever been postponed. It has been cancelled before, but never been postponed. Now, the reason why...
My favourite part, by the way, is all the merch and everything still has 2020 on it.
Yeah, and they're just going to keep that.
Yeah.
Just
it's cost
it,
so
guys.
Much to reprint and medals. Medals?
Absolutely. Jim, the reason we bring it up is because I was fortunate enough that a member of my family, my auntie, actually competed in the 2000 Olympics in the rowing, in the double scull, this time 20 years ago. She's a 6-time national champion, medalist at the World Championships and a dual Olympian at both Atlanta and Sydney. She's in the final for the women's scull at the Sydney Olympics. Please welcome live on the phone right now, my auntie Bronwyn.
Good morning.
Auntie Bron, 20 years on. 20 years on, can you believe it?
Don't rub it in, Nate. No, I can't. 20 years. Where has that time gone? I do not know what I've been doing.
Can I also say just quickly, Bronwyn, Nate's mentioned many times, you know, your great achievements, but the thing he's most proud of is we found out that you have a Wikipedia page and he's also very upset he doesn't have one of his own.
I didn't even know that. Did you know you had a Wikipedia page?
My kids found it. I did not know. I didn't have anything to do with it, I swear.
So when you have a Wikipedia page, do our good friends over at Wikipedia, do they call you up and ask for some chats? No, not at all.
Nothing. So there could be anything on that page about me. I don't even think I've looked the whole way through it.
Oh, maybe you should check it then. Yeah.
Nate edited this morning. It says favourite nephew is Nate. Bronwyn, 20 years on, so can I ask, because you did Athens. Oh, no, was it Athens or Atlanta?
No, Atlanta. Yeah.
So when you're at Atlanta and you made that, was it did you just have this goal of like, I need to make Sydney because you're from Sydney and that it was like a big thing to do it in your own backyard?
No, to be honest, though, it was just what I did. I rowed. I took up rowing because, as Nathan probably tells you all the time, his father, my brother, is awesome. And I just wanted to do something with my life that he couldn't do. So I started rowing and it just went from there because he'd never rowed. And so I just took it and I beat him over 100 metres once, which was the highlight of my life.
He would have hated that.
Didn't talk to me for a month.
So you're saying beating Nate's dad was better than being in the Olympics?
You know Nate's dad, don't you?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's a gold medal in the Roy family.
Arnie, bro, we were just talking about how different the vibe obviously has been 20 years on. I mean, you live in Sydney at the moment. I mean, it was just an absolute hub of so much excitement and so much international representation. Can you describe what it was like being a member of the Australian Olympic team at the Sydney Olympics whilst you were competing?
Oh, phenomenal is the only word you could use. It was incredible. The atmosphere around Sydney at the time was just fantastic. It was electric. Everyone was, you know, walking around smiling and hugging and shaking hands. All those things we're not allowed to do anymore. Mm. It was, and Sydney turned on, you know, absolute fabulous weather for it. And, it was really good.
Bronwyn, did you get to see many of the other, like, events? Like, did you get to spend much time watching? And did you get free tickets? How did it work for someone competing?
Yeah. After our event, we put in a ballot every night and got tickets. You could kind of go to these ticket boxes in the village and pick up whatever was left over. So I did get to watch. I was in the athletics. I was in the stadium when Kathy Freeman ran. Yeah, I know, something. I was actually sitting behind her at the opening ceremony when the big domey thing went up over her head. that was awesome. But watching her run live was something I'll never forget.
Wow. Arnie, Bronwyn, I mean, we have heard you describe this before, but for everybody out there, I mean, can you describe the moment when you're rowing in the Olympic final? Right. There's a rowing course in a place called Penrith in Sydney.
Penrith.
And there's no crowd up until one point when you're coming through. Can you describe that moment where you just hear the roar of your own countrymen supporting you in the Olympic final?
It's incredible. Your rowing course is 2 kilometres long. So for the first 50 metres, you're out there and all you hear is, you know, your own breathing, your own heart, your oars on the water, whatever, and then you just come into this wall of noise. There was 10,000 people in a stadium, and because it's over an 8-lane course, it's not a big area. Mm. So it's just compacted with people and they're all just screaming for you. And it just lifts you. It just takes you to a higher place, I guess, and you know, you can get more even though you're tired and you just want to see that finish line. It just lifts you up just that little bit higher. It's an incredible feeling.
Wow, it's goosebumps listening to that.
Can I ask, Nathan and I'm obsessed. One of my dreams as a kid was to go to the Olympics. Obviously, that's not happening.
You've been to watch.
Yeah, I went to watch, yeah. Maybe Nathan and I could do the show from the Olympics one day. But do your kids care? Like, do they have an interest in knowing your past and your history?
When it was not 20 years ago, when it was, you know, 4 years after and what have you, and the kids were young and I was at I think actually Nathan dragged me into primary school at Olympics Day at Laguna Street.
Show and tell. We had a show and tell. I had the coolest auntie. It was very, very cool.
I remember doing that. I've done that a couple of times for all my kids, you know, turned up to school in the uniform and had a chat with all the little kids and stuff. But, not now, because a 20-year reunion or anniversary is coming up, we are chatting about it a bit with the kids, but no, it's not something that I dwell on.
Something that I dwell on, and you're my auntie.
Yeah. Well, maybe if they're not impressed by that, tell them about the Wikipedia page.
Auntie Ron, 20 years on, what an incredible thing. Still getting goosebumps when you're describing that finish at the Olympic final. Well done. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
Bye. Please welcome producer Grace in for some gossip. Hey Grace,
really love it if you didn't do that. Abby Chatfield from The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise has taken to Instagram to hit back at anonymous trolls from what appears to be a Daily Mail comment section. All who were commenting on her body, referring to her as flabby and accusing her of pretending to exercise. Now, in a post over the weekend, she shared screen grabs of the comments accompanied by photos of her showing her body with her middle fingers up and a bit of a fiery caption. She said, "It's been over a year of being in the media to a certain degree, and comments like these only get a tiny bit easier. Yes, they're laughable, and yes, our value doesn't come from our weight, and yes, being fat shouldn't even be a bad word, but it still sucks. It gets exhausting, and I just want it to stop. I want it to stop for me, but also for people who read these comments and think it's the norm. It implies that to have worth, I need to stay thin, and that my value exists only when I fit into a standard of beauty that is not realistic." And I think it's one of those, I mean, this comes up in the media all the time, the unfair pressures that are put on, especially women, to have a certain type of body. And it's just not realistic because all of our bodies are so different. If every single person in the world ate exactly the same and exercised exactly the same, we would still all look different. That's just the way bodies work. And I don't think it's the job of anyone else to comment on someone's body.
Absolutely not. And good on her for putting up a post like that because, that is so hard to do. That is so hard to put up something like that and to call people out. So good on her.
It is kind of one of those things, like the hardest thing to do is when someone's pointing out maybe something that you are insecure about. It takes a lot of guts to go, yep, I'm insecure about this and here it is so you can all see it.
I think the thing is that for a lot of these publications, I mean, it's an easy write, isn't it? It's an easy thing to write about. It's an easy thing to comment about. An easy thing to get clicks on is commenting on other people's appearances. And it's lazy. It's lazy journalism, really.
There's a couple of things there for me. The first thing is the comments on her Instagram. I honestly can't fathom in my own brain how people go and type that. I just don't understand.
What are you getting at?
I don't understand why they do it. I don't understand why they get it, why they think is going to come
What's
out of it.
What's the motivation?
So I don't get that. But then I guess, you know, for me in real life that, you know, in my everyday life, there's sometimes where, look, I know that I still don't get it right. Like I may comment on someone's weight and I may make a joke. And I know that isn't okay. And, you know, I need to make a better effort at it because it doesn't. And I think that's where it starts. Like if we start in our everyday life, how we're talking and we say things like, you know, like, I make jokes about Nath being, you know, heavy. I'll be like, oh, you're fat, rah, rah, rah. And while I don't think you're fat, me saying that isn't good because, you know, that the joke being that...
It implies that someone being fat is a joke.
Yeah. Correct. Mm. And so I don't mean it and then that... But I also don't think, like, you know, I was at the gym the other day and, you know, I just looked at the... all different body shapes and sizes in the gym. And I know when I first started going to the gym, it was just big beefcakes. And it was a moment of like, geez, how good is it that just people can feel comfortable and do this? And while I don't get the comments, I know it does start with, you know, my everyday life and myself. Like I've made the jokes on this show. I've said stuff and it's not right and I shouldn't say it and I've got to be better at it. And, you know, whether or not, you know, we all say that thing of like, oh, I was joking, you know, as you said, Grace, me saying that means that someone being fat is the joke.
Yeah.
And that's not funny. So while I don't get the comments, I know that I and many other people need to be better at that.
No, absolutely. Good on her. And it's a good message for everybody to learn, I think. Thanks, Greg.
Nath, it's exciting. We're excited. Tasmania is finally getting an NBL team. And it was up to Tassie to name it. And we're down to the final five names, mate. Very exciting. And to tell us a bit more, friend of the show, please welcome CEO of Tasmania's NBL team, Simon Brookhouse.
G'day, Simon.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Mate, fantastic. Excited as always every time we talk about the fact that we're getting a Tassie NBL team. This is awesome. I can't imagine how excited you are to get things up and going.
Oh, I'm really excited. Can't wait. And it's becoming more and more real now with the five finalist names out there. And we'll unveil the number one choice on October 1.
Now, look, Simon, before we go through these five names again, so over the next 4 weeks, you're going to eliminate one name each week before finally getting to the last team name. Now, I don't know how you're doing this. I'd like to throw a suggestion out. Nathan and I are big fans of, like, you know, Big Brother, Survivor.
The Masked Singer.
Those type of shows. Could potentially you get on, like, I don't know, like a Facebook Live or something in each week and go, unfortunately, Tassie Timbers, it's time for you to go. Unfortunately, you have to leave. And then you could have that mascot just walk out of the room or something. Could that potentially happen?
We are certainly looking at a social media plan around something like that. Maybe not as elaborate, but maybe we just won't give one a rose or something like that. Or make it stick back to the style.
The poor Mountaineers. The deck can be the rose ceremony hall. This would be great. We got a trident, a jack jumper, a timber, a lion, and a mountain all in one.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. And unfortunately, you don't get a basketball.
Oh, no, that's good.
He's better. That's why he's the CEO.
That's why
he's
the CEO. We're just two radio guys. So just to remind everyone listening to the show, the final names are Tassie Timbers, Tassie Tridents, Tasmania Pride, Tassie Jack Jumpers, and the Tasmanian Mountaineers. How hard was it, Simon, to get to this final five?
It was very difficult because there were so many great options, and we had nearly 11,000 people putting up to three different names. So, and we had to make the harder decision to eliminate the really popular ones, Devils and Tigers, that have been used before, and are used for other sporting teams. So we were very, very, I guess, decisive in our mind that we wanted it to be a new beginning and a new future. So we wanted to use something that hasn't been used in basketball before and hasn't necessarily been used in Tasmanian sport before as well. So that's why we've landed on these five.
So, Simon, obviously the announcement's going to be on October 1. Does that mean you have made a decision? The decision has been made?
No, not as yet. No, we're still working through. We're working with South Southwest agency who are helping us with the branding and what works best for us.
Okay.
Andy Sargent, their director, is a Tasmanian guy who does a lot of work in the NBA and also NBL. So experienced.
Simon, can I ask you, I know you're a sporting nut, just like Nathan and I. You must have a favourite in this race. Now, I'm not going to ask you what your favourite is, but potentially, could you, once this is all said and done, could you be honest with us and go, boys, my favourite was blah?
Yeah, more than happy to do that. Okay. So the reality is, as I think I spoke to you guys once before, I wanted tacos like you did.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we're very disappointed. But look, I think they're all great, and I think it'll be a matter of now what works best for, you know, mascots, branding, bringing it to life, getting the people to follow. And everyone will have an opinion. There's no doubt about that. So, but we'll go with the one that really matches what we want to be.
So what about the names that miss out? I mean, we've got some really cool designs and stuff, so a bit of work has gone into these names. And now, obviously, all of them aren't going to work out. But is there a potential for, like, I don't know, like second grade and third grade teams, development teams, to have the names that don't make the big NBL name?
Oh, look, I think if it's associated with the NBL team, we'll have variants on whatever name we choose. So it, you know, it might be junior tridents or something like that, or various variants, because you want to follow one brand.
So if it's the Timbers, it might be like the, I don't know, the Tassie Splinters or something like that.
The Tassie Mountaineers and the Tassie Hills.
That's it.
The Tassie Grassy Knolls for the juniors.
Yeah, the mountains and the hill, that's it.
Yeah, we got it.
Perfect.
Look, Simon, we appreciate you being on the show, mate. We're very excited to see how you you cull the list. Should people be following you on the socials? What's the best way to keep following and updating on this?
We'll certainly be on the socials, and we'll no doubt do some mainstream media well, like we're doing now, and just keep following us. You'll definitely see something every week from here on in.
Awesome. Simon Brooke, our CEO of NBL Tasmania, mate, we really appreciate it. We can't wait to find out on October 1st what the new name of our team is going to be. We appreciate your time, Simon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Want more Jimmy and Nath? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.